you think about it.
Well, yeah.
We're recording now. Guys, hey,
will not
demons.
Be Danny DeVito.
Hey, demons. Welcome back to hell. Welcome to the Development Hell podcast.
Welcome to hell. Welcome to fucking hell.
I'm your host, Kyle Anderson. Of course, the Development Hell podcast. This is a podcast about movies that were stuck in a limbo after they were announced in these creative projects, trying to find the road towards the screen and towards eventually coming out. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Richard Humphrey.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
And Spike Cottrell.
That's me. The fortitude of a person who could make it through the first 10 seconds of this episode is beyond me.
The mental fucking...
Like, the... Like, you have to be... That's a forever listener. We already... It's the audience, like, right there.
Like, podcasts are for, like, substitute teachers to forget what kind of job they have, and then they listen to this and, like, fuck, I'm subbing.
Kids screaming about Deadpool.
They're like, 1, 2, 3, all eyes on me, let's go.
I wanted to hit the 15 seconds forward button. Live.
Oh, well, guys, today we're talking about 2016's Deadpool.
Deadpool.
One of the most, I will say this right off the bat. It's like, you ever look at a word too long and you're like, this can't possibly be the right word anymore.
Yeah.
Deadpool.
I have that with, I have that with goes.
Yeah.
Like, he goes to the store. Goes is just dog shit.
I don't know.
This is fuck.
Deadpool.
We need to redo goes.
Deadpool was a word I knew as, like, a name of a character, and then I found out it was an actual word later.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, I didn't know what a Deadpool was until after, like, I knew who Deadpool was, you know?
I didn't know who I was until I saw this movie.
I mean, I get that. Like, you and me both, man. Like, this is the Matrix of for all of the seven-year-olds.
It's a joke, sort of, in the like, sizzle reel that they made, but, like, does his name get translated to, like, Pool of Death, in or is he like just Deadpool in Mexico as well?
Looking into this.
Yeah, the world needs to know. I do like in X-Men Origins Wolverine, the reason he calls him Deadpool is because he's like, we've made him deadly from a pool of powers.
That checks out.
But it's just the way it's delivered is so, like,
yeah, they're like, it just worked out that that's also a cool word.
Like, it's very much like, I imagine if they ever made that, like, Carnage movie they were trying to get made in, like, the mid-2000s, someone would have been like, it's like he's like Spider-Man, but he's causing carnage.
Just, oh my god. I'm trying to find an international title, and I'm on the IMDb, and I'm seeing something in the crazy credits, which is a new Did You Know feature on IMDb, and it is everything I cannot stand about what happened after this movie to movies.
Yo,
and we'll get there, because it's the crazy credits. We should wait till the end of the episode.
I kind of left this movie on and walked in and out, because I've seen this movie probably a dozen times now, because it's Deadpool and I have TNT. iTunes played the crazy credits, I think, because weird shit was happening from the other side of the wall that I had never heard before, but I wasn't interested enough to go see what it was. But yeah, I think that's what that was.
It has this weird thing where at the end of the movie, so the movie ends, the credits go, they scroll for a long time, but then after all of that, there's a scene, which is weird, because at that point, the movie should be over, but after the credits, there's a scene, which is... And I know this movie's sort of playing with movies and logic and all that, but I thought that was...
Do movies do that? Because I'm usually like in, out.
Yeah, you leave. You leave because there's no scene after the credits.
Like, usually it's like black and I see like... And I know who starred in the movie. I just watched them for 2 hours.
I know, yeah. Well, I want to know...
Sometimes I'll go to a Marvel movie and I'll sit through the whole credits and something else will start playing, like more of a movie or something, and I'll run out of the theater because I'll be like, I didn't pay for this!
That's Regal and that's AMC and that's the other sort of just not having
Kyle,
time together.
Kyle, are you
they're overbooking these
theaters.
Are
you doing a bit that like there's like movies that like start like shortly after like Marvel credits? Because I just leave.
Yeah, because no, post credits there like is I never said,
sometimes there'll be a little movie that I'll start and I'll know in my heart that it's wrong to watch it, so I'll cover my eyes and yell like really loud. I'll try to get security to come escort me out, so I'll be like, I have a gun, I didn't pay for this.
I have a similar thing where I'll go to the theater. This isn't now obviously, but I would go to the theater and after the post trailers a movie would start and I would run out of the theater.
I can't do it.
But apparently in Deadpool...
I'm pretty sure I only paid for Maria Menounos to tell me about upcoming films.
Yeah, like, and shows that will be canceled in the middle of the pilot. Starring an actor that it's very depressing that they...
Rob Riggle's a dentist? Like, why is that a show?
What are we calling Rob Riggle now? Rob Riggle? Oh, you fucked me up too. there's a scene after Deadpool's credits. We'll get into it and how it changes the game for movies.
Yeah, let's do that later. So our story begins with New Line Cinema in 2004, where David S. Goyer was sort of dropped in his lap.
Excuse me. We're probably going to be talking about that guy a lot on this podcast. Like, let's say this.
Oh, thank
just
God.
This podcast, but like, the rest of like this podcast's longevity, he is like the king of like production hell, and it's crazy that this is the first time we kind of got to him, considering we've talked about
getting to him pretty quick. I mean, he is,
you know, it's like because he's just like is everywhere. He's got his dirty little hands in like everything for a little bit that like defined the mid like 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Knight trilogy. I mean, Black Ops. Come on,
he wrote Batman Begins, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a big force at that time, but it was sort of
David S. Your Boyer,
and working with
Ryan. Goodbye, Reynolds. Rest of the listeners. David S. Your Boyer.
David S. Your Boyer.
Well, boys, it's just us.
Now Ryan Reynolds jumping into Blade Trinity was.
And he jumped in.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was a good move because of the people that he met, but that movie was, I mean, I've never seen it, but from what everything I've seen, I watched a couple clips and I was like, well, he looks like shit.
He was just like that dude in like romantic comedies and Waiting, and then that movie came out and like girls I knew were like, oh my God.
Ryan well, because the shtick was that he was, like, a charming dick, but he never calibrated, like, the 60-40.
Yeah, and, like, also that movie was Hot Caca.
Yeah, I remember being very excited for that movie because Andy Milonakis was in it. Speaking of another guy that just changed the game and was not the age he looked.
Yeah.
No. Now it's around this time in the mid 2000s that Ryan Reynolds actually becomes aware of Deadpool because Deadpool mentions him. It's a line that Deadpool says that, you know, with his mask off, he looks like a cross between a Sharpay and Ryan Reynolds.
And we should say a thing about Deadpool is that he knows he's Deadpool. He knows that he is.
He knows he's a pool of dead.
I like that Ryan Reynolds is like, well, I should play Deadpool because he knows me.
Well, like every young actor like starts out because they want to be like the guy that's super famous, you know. And I think like he's like, I could be that guy, and I feel like that's how you find that road like early on because like you'll be a superhero, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that time, I feel like in 2004, 2005, being a superhero wasn't even necessarily
That wasn't the way you do it. Yeah.
Like Tobey Maguire didn't, I mean, Spider-Man was huge and obviously great for him, but it's not like it led to Tobey Maguire having this like incredible acting career after that.
No, incredible poker career.
Remember
where he ruined lives maliciously.
Remember when superhero movies were defined by their director?
Yeah. I mean, it's
now the only superhero movies defined by their director are like heinous, like dark. I mean, dark and gritty is the gross word, but like it's the movies that try really hard to forget that they're superhero movies.
Talking about
Joker.
I'm not going to do it, but yes.
Joker. The world's greatest movie.
Here one of the best movies called Joker.
Yeah.
One of the best.
The greatest movie called, the top three movies called Joker.
Adjusted for inflation, the highest grossing guy gets into a refrigerator movie of the last century.
I can't believe Box Office Mojo put that together, that list.
No, I know. It's just that and Marley and Me. Because they count deleted scenes.
New Line Cinema executive Jeff Katz championed the idea. Now, Jeff Katz is
a cat.
The first person who I've just been reading about in this podcast, and I was just like, I want to hang out with Jeff Katz. He started his career in WCW. He was like an announcer and like a manager, and like then he eventually became a writer for Image Comics, where he actually wrote the crossover Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
So that's Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. That shit is so good.
Yeah, and so then he was a producer on Freddy versus Jason the movie.
A movie that defined me as an eighth grader.
Yeah, and then he also apparently wrote some of the DC, some of the Booster Gold comics that like people really love and like that really like defined and fleshed out that character. Fandom, he's like the guy. And he really championed this idea of a Deadpool movie could really work because you're not going to have any other, you know, superheroes that are breaking the fourth wall and sort of like, you know, he just thought that. And I think especially at and we'll kind of talk to this point, I think especially at like 2005, like if that movie had come out in 2007, it probably would not have looked the same. But like, I do think it would have hit way harder and been funnier. Now, I think it did. It was.
You imagine the references
parody on a lot of the stuff that like the Marvel movies had done up until that point, you know, like it makes some funny things. But I do think that Deadpool could have hit harder had it come out earlier and been seen as like even more original. Wait. Not to say it didn't hit hard enough, obviously, but
wait, like, can you imagine if Deadpool came out in 2005 and like the jokes he'd be making though about like the superhero movies around that time?
Well, I mean, right?
Like, what do you do with like Daredevil?
But yeah, but that only worked.
He's making jokes about Elektra.
Like, sure. Right. By that point, most of them were bad. We weren't engaged with them enough to not like specific parts of them.
Yeah. They weren't the cultural phenomenon that.
Sure, and there weren't boxes to tick with each one. There wasn't the sort of the Dark Knight Iron Man chemistry set of like how much of these two things do we combine?
Man, it would have just been a lot of Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider impressions, huh?
Which, look, I'm here for.
I'm here for. Nobody talks about. I watched that movie.
It kind of fits into the Marvel universe just in look and feel.
I watched that movie about camping. And honestly, as a kid, enjoyed it.
I don't think it's that bad. At least the first one. That second one.
I can't. I didn't know they made a second one. That's insane.
With Idris Elba, too.
What the fuck?
With the guys who made Crank.
Jesus. Well, that.
Oh, those guys are beautiful. Those are beautiful people.
If you announced that today, if you were like the Crank guys and Idris Elba are making it.
Well, the Crank guys broke up.
Yeah.
So it's just not going to happen. Neville and Taylor is over. But they had that run where they would, they would like hand Jason Statham a GoPro and be like, jump off whatever roofs you're feeling. See if you can keep it on you. Guys, I can't find any international titles of Deadpool. I did find a weird list of other international titles. Like, Leon the Professional is called This Hitman Is Not So Cold-Blooded in China. And then my here's one to get us on point. For starters, WALL-E is called General Mobilization of Robots. Cars is called General Mobilization of Cars. Finding Nemo is called General Mobilization of the Underwater.
Oh my god.
And X-Men is called X-Battle Cops. So it brings us right back around.
There you go.
Why does it make them all sound like propaganda?
Now, the X-Men, that's actually, that ties us in perfectly. So New Line was trying to develop this this Deadpool movie, but the Fox rights came into play because he's technically part of this whole X-Men universe and all of that. And so pretty much that whole iteration in the early to mid-2000s gets completely canned. But a lot,
because they're so incredible until they're... It's really interesting that two incredible movies were completely nullified by a third dud.
Yeah, I mean, and then we're going to talk about this bigger dud is in 2009 when Ryan Reynolds sort of threw sheer willpower and just talking about it and willing it into existence. He gets cast as Wade Wilson in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Which is how white guy stuff happens. Mm-hmm. You say you want it and get enough people to hear you and then you can have stuff.
Now, I mean, definitely at the time, fans were really stoked, like, for the idea that a niche character like Deadpool could get his own movie, right? Like, it was very, like, at the time, you kind of had to do these bigger team-up movies, or, like, you got to go with a character that's really well-known, like, fucking, they're worried Wolverine is barely,
it was just profitable
on his own, you know?
It was just so fucking cool to like Deadpool around that time, but yeah. Around like those nerd circles where like I would just roll my eyes.
But a different kind of cool, because you know? It's obviously like still kind of cool. Yeah. It's more cooler than ever to like Deadpool, but this version of cool now is sort of, you know, there are like three or four things that the internet has elected all right to love, and this is one of them. So you're sort of, you can become part of an army of people when you decide you like Deadpool.
Yeah. Weed, Barstool Sports, and Deadpool. Those are the approved.
Boom. Hashtag you release the Barstool cut.
I hit all three. Sorry, release
the
ladies.
Weed cut. I found some interesting interviews here. This was like, people would not stop asking Ryan Reynolds about Deadpool being its own movie. So this was an interview he was doing about Adventureland.
I remember being like a nerdy high schooler and like reading all of that shit.
And the person asked him two questions about Adventureland and three questions about Deadpool.
But I mean, those are says, you only need that much information to know about either.
Yeah, and I guess Origins Wolverine and Adventureland were coming out like in the same time frame. He said, I know there's been some talk about taking Deadpool off on his own. Any update? That's what they asked. He said, no, these things work pretty slowly. I've had a couple of people approach me about meetings for a Deadpool movie, but I think it's absurd to think that way until this movie comes out. And I don't even look at it like I play Deadpool in this movie. I really think I more or less play Wade Wilson, and I'm playing this creature that eventually could become Deadpool, but in this movie it's kind of just a newly formed version, so to speak. So this is before it comes out, and he's already trying to be like, guys, this is not Deadpool.
Right.
Like he's trying to like
Josh Trank it.
Yeah, he's trying to pull it back.
Yeah.
Now, go on, Richard.
No, I just remember like when that movie came out and like they had cut Deadpool's head off at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like telling everyone, like, because in the comic books he had like a zombified head of himself that he would carry around, and I'm like, that's all it is, guys. That's all it is.
Well, I mean, they did.
And so, I was like, I'm hoping for a good Deadpool movie.
So, Jeff Katz is at this point, he becomes an executive at Fox, which is awesome because he still wants to make a Deadpool.
Did he also just like say it and it happened?
Yeah, he willed it into existence.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad that worked out for him.
And what I think is actually interesting is that the Wade Wilson was supposed to just be a cameo. Like, I think he was just supposed to be in that first scene where he like slices the bullet in half and stuff. Ryan Reynolds said initially it started out as a cameo and they added a little bit more and a little bit more, and every day I'd come back to set there'd be more pages. For the most part, it's definitely Hugh's movie, but it also has an ensemble feel. There's a lot of guys in it. There's a lot of characters. They added a bunch of mutants that fanboys really love. When they approached me for the role,
the Will.i.am character.
He said I was already ready to shoot The Proposal and this other movie called Paper Man when they were shooting Wolverine. So I was committed to those, and they approached me for the role. So I said, look, if you can make more days work, I can make it work. So we ended up doing additional photography at the end of Wolverine because I still hadn't shot the lion's share of what I was supposed to shoot. So a lot of people thought they were adding scenes because they added more Deadpool, but it was really just a function of me finishing movies I hadn't completed.
So this is, I think, an okay point to jump in to talk about mid-2000s Ryan Reynolds. Perfect. Because it's very clear at this point that he knows he might have his finger on the pulse of like superheroes, and he might know this is the way to that. He clearly likes the character. But before Deadpool comes out, he is not making anything happen. It's rom-coms and action. You know, he's great in a lot of this. He's fine in a lot of this, but nothing is connecting.
Well,
he's like
after,
not far off from like a Ryan Phillippe, where it's like, yeah, you pop up to be a guy every once in a while.
Yeah, but then after Deadpool, if it doesn't remind you of Deadpool, then like,
sure,
it doesn't take off for Ryan Reynolds, you know?
Because, and that's what I'm saying, is that he seems hungry to find something that he can lock into, because his work is so sporadic leading up to this.
Well, and he does, like, I would say his most iconic role up until this point is The Proposal. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of like the defining.
Well, Van Wilder.
Van Wilder.
Well, true.
Which is really what he's, I mean, that's sort of the cocaine
that
pitch that you do, is like, it's Van Wilder meets, you know, what if Van Wilder was a superhero?
What if he was one of the X-Men?
Well,
yeah.
It's the guy from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
What?
Yeah, he was on a sitcom that ran for 81 episodes. Called
No,
Two
he
Guys,
wasn't.
A Girl, and a Pizza Place.
That isn't true.
No, it's 100% true. I'll wait.
No,
you Google.
Come on.
I'll wait, you Google.
No, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and I'm just telling you, it's not true.
He played a guy named Berg.
Yes, he was on a show.
He was just the voice. He was the voice of a snarky pizza place that broke the fourth wall.
That knew it was a pizza place.
I better go back to cooking pepperonis now.
Two Guys and a Girl. In the first two seasons, titled Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. So, don't know what that's about.
Pizza place burned down or something?
They canceled the pizza place.
Yeah, the pizza place did blackface.
Yeah, they call it Two Girls and a Guy.
Yes, Netflix has retroactively removed the pizza place.
Yeah, the pizza place is now Tignataro.
The pizza place is completely abandoned in the third season so that the characters can pursue different dreams. All right. All right, so the first two seasons, they're dreaming of the pizza place?
It's just and then, fascinating. Yeah. Like, what if they were like, hey, we're going to just call the show Bob's Family because we want to let him not explore having a burger restaurant.
New dreams for Bob. So, Richard, this was your favorite show of all time. What's going on in it?
No, it was not my favorite show of all time. I just knew about it.
That's what you're texting me, is that you love Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Yeah, like it's in cement right there. Yeah, I love Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. Eventually,
I just like Pizza Place's work. I like Pizza Place's work after he left the show.
Yeah, no, he got his own like Joey spinoff as a Pizza Place.
I wonder if it was like when Steve Carell left the office the pizza, and the show just the show wasn't the same without the pizza.
No, yeah, at the like the season finale, they're interviewing other businesses.
Yeah,
that come in and guest star.
You know, Will Ferrell's being a car wash. He's trying to make calzones. It's not working.
No, it's just not happening.
But honestly, it wasn't
the writers had no idea.
It wasn't until he took his shirt off in Blade Trinity that even people even like thought about him in like an action role. Because then they added more shirtless scenes in Amityville Horror because of how well the shirtless scenes in like Blade Trinity took off.
And I'll say that one, shining turd, I guess. Like it again. None of these are great movies, but
Just Friends. I feel
like people don't speak about Just Friends is pretty great, but R.I.P.D. is not talked about as much as it should be.
God. That's a fake movie.
No,
that's a
it
fake
is
movie. No
good.
No. R.I.P.D. is like the movie that they're making in another show.
Yeah, R.I.P.D. No, I get what you mean because the poster is that.
Yeah, that and Passengers are fake
it's
movies.
Something they're making in the background of like Angie Tribeca.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my foot down that R.I.P.D. is a like music video version of Men in Black. Like it's a very like a way too slick for its own good. Men in Black.
Yeah, we saw
which works and
I saw
doesn't.
Men in Black International. And
I've never given.
Oh, that's kind of on you.
I'd be willing to give R.I.P.D. a chance.
Give it a chance. Give it 96 minutes, and you can bail on it after that.
I think it has. It suffers from really corny marketing and one of the corniest titles of all time.
It's based off a comic book.
It is based off that title, but you know you can change that if you want. It's. Yeah, I'd watch it. You can turn it off when the credits start. There's nothing after them.
Oh, I always do, man.
That's just a heads up about R.I.P.D.
Oh my god, I didn't pay for this!
Yeah, there's no scary... You're not going to get away with anything after the credits.
Oh, I don't want to. I never want to get away with anything.
I mean, he's in... Oh, and the other big sort of thing in his meandering... career here, and Kyle, I'm sure you're getting to this, so stop, but he played another superhero between his two Deadpools.
Yeah, well we're gonna get to that. That's sort of a little later in the timeline. So
no, but have you guys seen Paperman though?
I haven't seen Paperman.
Is like it's like Emma Stone like has an imaginary friend who is like Ryan Reynolds as this big superhero, and it's about her like trying to cope with like letting go of like having an imaginary friend. It's a very bad movie.
Emma Stone in a superhero movie. I'm into that.
He keeps God damn it. He keeps mentioning in all the interviews I read, he keeps like being like I'm working on the proposal and X-Men Wolverine and also a movie that exists called Paperman that is a movie, I promise. Like he always like has to clarify that it's a movie he's working on because he knows no one has heard of it.
Yeah, it looks like it was made for a couple grand in like a backyard.
Basically. Looks like it was made for
a
favor.
That's cool though. Yeah. Yeah, Jeff Daniels, Ryan Reynolds, Emma Stone. That's a great Lisa Kudrow.
So
it grossed $13,000. So that should be pointed out.
That was
just they charged at the critic screening.
So the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine is ruined by a movie that made $13,000.
Well, not ruined. I think like that's probably if you guys remember, X-Men Origins Wolverine had sort of this like. It was the first I had ever seen at that time, but it was a leak of the movie before it had come out. Like,
oh, I straight
yeah.
up,
not like it was the work print.
I watched the work print. Yeah.
With no like bad CGI. Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that there was no VFX in that end scene was probably because they had just fucking shot it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, for before that work print, like, that was the last stuff to go in. So that was probably the version that got leaked out. That is, you know, sort of the first of the Deadpool leaks.
And it was hard to get the animators to want to come into work. And I don't really want to. That was the kind of vibe. Yeah, they had to have pizza at the office every day just to get them to want to keep making X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That's what kept Hugh Jackman there.
It's like, there's six blades in every shot. I can't handle this fucking guy.
Hugh Jackman, they just have another room that's just playing show tunes, and he's just like loving it in there.
Yeah. You almost done? I'm not.
Yeah. The worst part about hiring Hugh Jackman is the like team of day players you also have to hire to always have a show tune ready.
Yeah. He won't work on a production unless at least three times during the production the entire crew flash mobs in like a big musical number. So I just love him. He's a great showman. Some would say the greatest.
One of the greatest, at least.
Whoa.
So at this point, this is about 2010. Katz is now an executive at Fox, which...
Cats is a movie, sir.
A bunch of cats produced.
Yeah, a group of cats trapped in a trash bag produced Deadpool.
Yep.
But no, so Jeff Katz was actually quoted, like they asked him when he got the job. They were like, "What are you excited to be working on?" And he said, "Deadpool will be nicely set up to be explored as a feature film." So one of his initial things in like getting the chair is like, cool, let's fucking make Deadpool.
And all of that was around the time The Secret came out, when you could just will things into existence.
Yeah.
So after
more weapons for white guys to have stuff happen.
So after the successful opening of X-Men Wolverine,
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, sorry, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Fox officially began development on Deadpool with Reynolds attached to star. And it had sort of the X-Men producers team at that time. And it was just going to ignore everything that happened in X-Men Origins Wolverine and Deadpool.
Well, that's the thing. And I apologize if this came up a sec, because I did spend a couple days looking for international titles of Deadpool. Is that the version in... Origins has nothing to do with the character from the books or the character that he's suited to play. Like, he's some sort of mutilated version of like a result of the Weapon X program.
So that's sort of interesting. Wade Wilson is sort of played how it should be, almost. Like, it's not particularly well written Wade Wilson. And then what he becomes is technically Weapon X, which is a different character.
Yeah.
Right. Which it's like, did you think we wanted him to be Wade Wilson?
Right. It's just sort of one of those things that's the thing, is I don't think everything going back to him starting out as a cameo, I think they just wanted to be like, oh, here's Wade Wilson. He has a sword and he cuts a bullet in half and he's probably going to be Deadpool eventually.
Because it's a movie where it's a movie full of that.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of those X-Force guys where you're like, oh yeah, the Blob's pretty cool, like Spike is in it.
Gambit.
Like, yeah.
Who's in like, it?
Spike.
Oh, he sounds cool, man. What's his deal? He got his number or something? He loves chill.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. That's his power.
Isn't there? There's a classic Deadpool line in that movie. What was it? I'm stuck in an elevator with four dudes on a high-protein diet.
Which is, and this is the kind of writing that wins Tonys, wins Pulitzers. Yeah.
David S. Yaboyer, right?
All right.
Yeah, definitely at the same level. So, let's see. Now, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick were hired to write the script in January of 2010. So, Reynolds basically picked, like, hand chose them because they just, like, got it and apparently he really loved.
He was like, "That's a Reynolds rap."
Jesus Christ! I mean, 34 minutes in, folks. If you're still trying,
I'm pretty mad. I'm pretty mad right now.
So he brings in the Zombieland guys at that point.
Oh, another a good development hell movie within itself.
Yeah, definitely. And a movie we'll definitely talk about in the future. And this is sort of after that long road came to a close, because that movie came out in 2009, I believe.
Yeah.
This is January of 2010. They get hired to start working on Deadpool.
Yeah, because it comes out like in October of 2009.
Yeah, so it comes out. It's obviously like
gangbusters.
Zombieland is like gangbusters.
And it should also be noted that in China, like Boogie Nights is called "His Powerful Device Makes Him Famous." I do think this should be noted in this part of the story. I'll sprinkle these in as we go.
I love that. So basically, okay, this is interesting. So in 2010. Robert Rodriguez had been asked to direct the film, and he apparently read the script and loved it, but just didn't think that he was the right take for it, but has mentioned that he thought it was a really great script.
Probably wearing a cool hat when he said it.
Can you imagine Robert Rodriguez directing?
Couple leather jackets on, one around the waist.
Got
holding one, he was buying one.
Got it. That would have been Alexa Vega in that movie.
Yeah. Saying, you know what, hombre, I don't think, I'm just not feeling it, you know? I'm just not feeling it.
Ryan Reynolds.
Deadpool would have been like, stuff, man.
Now I gotta go to my uncle. And he's like, hey, it's me, Machete.
You look burned up as fuck, man. We should probably cut that out at that point. Like, we should be done doing that joke.
Yeah.
That's a trait. No.
So at this point, they're trying to find a director. Robert Rodriguez passes on it. They're looking at this guy, Adam Berg, who did some really interesting.
Who I think is a phantom. I don't think Adam Berg is real. Like Adam Berg.
Yeah, that's an Alan Smithy. That's like that's what you do when you're ashamed of your work.
His work is admired by Ryan Reynolds. His work is Swedish music videos.
Swedish music videos and incredible commercials. I watched two of his commercials and they're insane.
All right.
He's great, I guess, but I don't know why they were looking at him. So I guess,
but it actually makes sense when you look at the two directors Deadpool has had, which is, that is interesting that after Robert Rodriguez, yeah. Who is such a, I cut it. I shoot. He's such an auteur that then, kind of everyone who's considered for Deadpool or gets the job itself is seemingly malleable and doesn't have a huge presence on a set. Right. You know, you don't see Adam Berg, Ryan Reynolds bringing on Adam Berg to really give it his Adam Berg sense.
Robert Rodriguez would have directed Deadpool for like $4,000, man.
Well, they could have used that, but Tim Miller gets the job. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with why he got the job. He got the job because of a DC Universe online cutscene that he directed.
Well, because he is like he was the guy for weird VFX sequences. He did the opening credits to Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is it's like one of the greatest like table settings for a movie you'll ever see.
Absolutely.
So he understands aesthetic. This is the case for both Deadpool directors, is people who so properly understand what things need to look like.
Yes.
But it kind of stops there. Because Tim Miller
that DC Universe trailer is actually what Fox saw, and all the Fox executives said, this is what we want our cinematic universe to feel like, is this trailer. Like this cutscene, essentially. Sure. And so that's what, like, and there is a good little amount of like the foggy look and feel. Like I could see what he gave them out of that. But that that little cutscene that he directed is like crazy big characters. Like it's like Superman like beating the shit out of Black Adam and stuff.
I love watching that thing. I watch that thing. I used to watch the thing all the time just because it was cool. I never played the game.
Cool. Sure.
The game looks
this bad. Was the case for a lot of, you know, I remember Enter the Matrix had a great cinematic trailer, but not. It was not worth. You'd second you saw gameplay. That's kind of the case with video games everywhere now.
Well, back then also like
you get a Tim Miller to make your game great when you don't want to show gameplay.
Well, yeah, that's how like Command and Conquer like lasted so long was they had like real actors doing like cutscenes in between like scenes.
Oh right, yeah, that was a big thing even like his early days. And if you're wondering what Tim Miller looks like, it's like if a golf ball had a cocaine problem. It's if a peach was doing smack.
I think that leads into something I've been thinking about with like Deadpool and with like Ryan Reynolds and what he's done is like it's sort of traditionally what like Tom Cruise built his like empire around was getting VFX guys to just fill in the blanks while he basically directs his movies because everything is like beyond what it is and it's like a Tom Cruise movie at this point. Like that's who everyone is for in like in those weird movies that Tom Cruise makes that nobody watched, you know? And then like even Christopher Quarry in the Mission Impossible movies was just like, it feels like Tom Cruise goes, I kind of want to do like a bunch of like cool stunts and like, let's get me like higher and like, let's do cool things and I'm shirtless. And then someone else fills in the blanks.
Sure. And it's not necessarily that, cause you have to wonder what is going on with Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie. And I think that it's, he finally found a guy who, as a director, is a yes man, but as a writer, is going to take charge.
I think, I do think Christopher McQuarrie figured out how to like please both sides of the table.
Because you know, McQuarrie seems
out of it too.
I think the deal is like I know Tom Cruise probably knows how to make movies better than most people, but Christopher McQuarrie knows how to write movies better than most people. And I think Tom Cruise is too smart. I think there's a similar. Been doing a lot of thinking. Comparing Tom Cruise to Adam Sandler, now hear me out, is that there are these two guys who are making too much stuff to not be just obsessed with making stuff. Like, these guys aren't too, like, overtly cynical. And I think you look at someone like Sandler, too, where it's like, I kind of want to run this, but I need somebody else to be there to, because I don't know how a camera works. I think this is something that Ryan Reynolds kind of is carving out, too.
Yeah,
and it is a select group of people that it's not that they're running everything. It's that they need a director who will respect the boundaries of, I promise you, I know what this needs to be a little more than you do.
And that's what it sounds like this relationship with Tim Miller really was. Like, they sound like they, everything that directing wise they were dealing with and doing was so extremely like it was the two of them. You know what I mean? Like, they talked about when they went to go see the suit, when the suit was finally finished.
This is Reynolds and Miller?
Yeah, this is Reynolds and Miller.
That suit is
they
dope.
Saw it, they cried, like, together.
Well, it
like,
seemed...
He put it on, and he came out, and they were both, like, crying. Like, they were so together in this. Like, they
which
really...
Which is a pretty funny thing to think about.
It seems like they were kind of put together by Fox, almost. You know what I mean? Like, Fox was kind of like, hey, we really like this guy. You want to make this thing, and then it just sort of like they actually legitimately click.
They were put together for Fox's sake.
Yeah. And it ended up being just a really good pairing. So everything is. Yeah. Okay. Everything is
Fox's sake. Hey, the Japanese title for Leaving Las Vegas is I'm drunk and you're a prostitute. So they cry. They're both wearing the suit and they're crying and they're
on their wives and crying. Everything is coming along. You know, they've got the writers attached. Those writers just had a great movie come out that was a sort of a comedy action success. You know, you've got
that went through its own development hell.
Yeah, and you've got this director who Fox literally wants to like make their entire cinematic universe look like the last thing he just produced. You have Ryan Reynolds finally picking up some steam, not much, but then everything hits a fucking huge roadblock. 2011, right as Ryan Reynolds like inks the deal with Fox to be the producer, the Tim Miller attached Green Lantern comes out and Fox loses all faith in him.
Mm. Oh yeah. That movie,
cause that was his fault.
Right. No, like,
that's a real Deadpool. It's a case of like Daredevil where it's like, yeah. I see that this guy is not the problem, that this guy showed up to work every day for this.
Yeah. But, and like the Green Lantern movie, there's a good movie in that movie. It's just not the movie they gave us.
Sure.
You know, it's like, there's a lot that it felt like they just went too quickly to make it. Like if they had spent another 3 months making that movie, it probably would have been like a very good movie, but they didn't do that.
Now, basically that the Green Lantern coming out,
that movie
like really, really tanked the Deadpool project. And then Fox executives were already concerned about it being R-rated. They basically wanted to go back to the drawing board, make it PG-rated, and they gave Miller a, quote, low six-figure budget to produce test footage.
Sure.
Which we will talk more about in depth later.
Because
kind of,
that is sort of something that worked out really well for them in that
that's
you
pretty
give...
Much what got
but,
me.
Right, but here's the thing. If you give even David Leitch, the sequels director, a low six-figure number to make test footage, he would need to rent a camera. Whereas Tim Miller,
yeah,
that test footage is entirely digital. Whereas you have a guy who just opens up his laptop and the $600,000 can go to whatever he needs it to go to. It's not...
Yeah.
That sizzle reel could... have been that sizzle reel is in the movie basically shot for shot.
That movie,
so
it's basically the movie. That movie takes
right,
place sort of within that fight.
A real sort of a tactile director would not have been able to produce that much in that high of quality content on any version of six figures.
It's really incredible that that was six figures, and like you're saying, it was because Tim Miller owned a CGI production house.
Right, exactly. Where it's just like, oh, great, here's what I can pay some employees to work on Saturdays for.
My team that already knows how to crush shit like this and big action scenes and
yep.
move bodies and do that rigging and all that. He was sort of perfectly set up to be the one person that could have executed that. Now, Reese and Wernick, I just thought this was interesting. And I thought you guys would like this. This is an interview where they were talking about. I'll just let it speak for itself. So Reese says, "We had some angels on our shoulders too. This movie had some very quiet unsung heroes. One of them was James Cameron, who's a friend of Tim Miller and read the script at a key moment a few years back. He said he would read it, and like sarcastically, we were like, oh yeah, he'll read it. He literally read it that night and called us the next morning. And then Wernick said,
man of his
word. We think he was procrastinating on Avatar 2.
This is that kind of psycho, like enthusiast director like Cameron or Spielberg who just, it seems like, how do you have a social life? You seem to be so into movies. You don't know how to stop loving this.
Yeah, yeah. And then even David Fincher also read the script and actually set a meeting with executives at Fox to just right. come in and be like, hey, do this.
This is the other thing about Tim Miller that puts him is that any other no-name director that Ryan Reynolds wants to grab might not have these, favors to cash in. But to exactly. get, you know... the highest, like maybe the, like, you know, the highest grossing director of all time and one of the most acclaimed directors of all time to say, why are you not making this movie star comic book movie? That really helps. But it's so shocking that that still doesn't
and that,
make it
Yeah, and
happen.
That still doesn't yeah. get it across the board because the team really believes it needs to be R-rated. And Fox doesn't believe that, like, Watchmen and Kick-Ass and any of these R-rated sort of crazier superhero movies have come out justify the cost and they're yeah. scared. They want to make Spider-Man money. They don't want to make Kick-Ass money.
And this is, yeah. This is a series of meetings that no longer takes place now because of this movie. I would say, unfortunately,
Yeah.
I think that the vindication of a movie for being rated R is now so superficial. Feeds into the sort of post-Deadpool, post-Snyder, post-Nolan thing of, oh, it's rated R, that means I can feel cool for liking it and not lame for liking it, because I was going to like it no matter what.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's R, so I can imagine that this is purely for adults.
Well, and in the world of streaming, they don't even really do that anymore, do they?
Like, ratings?
Yeah.
Like you think of something like a TVMA
and stuff like that.
The Old Guard is rated something, but it's not really a concern. That's interesting, because I will watch things on streaming and then something very violent or sexual happen, and I go, oh, I guess I never even thought that this would be this, but okay. They don't do that, and they don't give you the MPAA thing at the beginning of the movie.
It's in like a little rectangle, right below the title on everything.
Sure, or like, yeah. The premium services will do it. Like, you know, HBO will still give you the, there's this. Oh yeah, The Boys does. Yeah, no, Prime does that. The Boys does that. Every episode they tell you.
I don't pay attention
to. I think it's like something they legally kind of have to do, so they kind of do it the smallest
way possible. It always stands out because there's the bullet point for there's occasionally a weird bullet point.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Like, to me, strong sexual content, you're like, oh, there's gonna be a dick in this.
Maybe they even like, it doesn't make sense to me, because that whole the whole MPAA rating board is such a shadowy, mysterious tribunal.
It's three old women, I swear.
I recommend anybody listening watch the documentary This Film Is Not Yet Rated, which is an investigative documentary where they tried to figure out the eight anonymous people watching the movies at MPAA. And they do, in fact, find these people and realize that it's all so insane.
Yeah.
And the MPAA also has this gross apprehension in terms of sex and language, but does not really bat an eye at, you know, gratuitous violence.
Yeah, it's weird. The standards and practice for TV is weird too, because you can show like a flaccid penis, but it can't be hard.
Which is like great.
It's great. It's wonderful.
That does make me sleep better at night.
That's why I watch TV all the time.
Yeah,
not just hard dicks out there.
Everywhere. Yeah, won't be startled.
It's a distinction.
By any television.
It can't be a penis that's ready for sex, apparently, is like the distinction why.
Yeah.
Which is why in my fucking show, Banshee, when Detective Shaw bites off the albino guy's dick, it is a flaccid dick, and that's okay.
What did you just say?
You guys got to check out
Banshee. Showtime. I feel like you just spoiled everything I'm going to get out of it. You did that for Hollywood, too.
Nah.
All right. You weren't going to get anything out of Hollywood.
I just started watching Community yesterday.
Hollywood.
I'm a little behind.
So let's see. Where were we? Yeah. So basically in 2011, you're left with a script that's an R rating. Fox thinks there's really no audience for it. You have a star attached that's like unknown superhero flop. And Fox gets this test footage, and they basically just pass on it.
There was a hot nod from them.
He created the footage using CGI at his animation studio, Blur Studios. The footage did not convince Fox to greenlight the film, and after successful May release of The Avengers, Reese and Warnock thought Deadpool might be approved because it was basically already developed, like they already own it. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, look, Avengers made so much money, please. But actually Fox was now even more doubtful of the script, because they were trying to figure out how they could make a team up movie, because they were like, no, a solo movie is not going to work. We need like an X-Force movie or something. We need a big team up movie. So yeah, it's interesting. So basically nothing happens for the next 2 years.
And what's Ryan Reynolds doing around that time? And it's just like action movies, right? Where he's just like trying to stay fit.
I think this is the real dark time for him.
This is when he does like The Five or whatever that movie is.
The Five? The Three?
What is it called?
This is when he's in things like
The Nines, where he plays three different characters.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun time. But leading right up to Deadpool, he is in going backwards, he's in Criminal and Selfless and Woman in Gold, which no one's seen. He's in Mississippi Grind, which is great. He still does this, where he will occasionally show up as a legitimate like actor for you know, no money and just work for a few weeks.
Well, and then Kyle, he's also in an animated classic called Turbo.
Oh, yep.
That's the favorite one he plays Turbo.
I'm so glad we could talk about Turbo because Turbo has my favorite line of any like angry old white man like standing over a rule book, where he goes, "A snail can't race in a race meant for cars."
Which you would think we would all accept.
You have to agree with duh. The man. You have to agree with the man.
Yeah, you know,
no. I was saying it definitely my top five movies where Snoop Dogg voices a snail.
Yeah. 100%.
So let's
three
see.
For me.
Interesting. So at the end of that test footage, I always thought he said hi mom at the end of the test footage, but when I was rewatching it to write this up, I realized he actually said hi Tom, and I looked it up, and Tom Rothman was the CEO of Fox at the time.
Sure.
And would have
been so he's kind of breaking the fourth wall. It's like he's looking at the camera.
It's like he knows he's in a pitch.
It's his fellow, you know.
Is the Deadpool is just always one step ahead of you.
So, basically in 2014, the test footage gets leaked.
Right, which was leaked by one of four people.
Yeah.
The two writers and the guys that cried when one of them put on a superhero costume.
Exactly.
I firmly believe Ryan Reynolds leaked it.
I think it was the guy that made Terminator Dark Fate.
I mean, they a good both movie. Kind of said at the time they believed that you know, it was it was leaked by somebody else at Fox, but I think it was Ryan Reynolds as well. Just he knows that it opens himself up to too much like litigation and stuff if he ever admits to it. So
sure. But like was it leaked to some anonymous YouTube page, or was it like,
I believe it was uploaded on Daily Motion.
Yeah.
Account was at Tim Miller.
Yeah. At not Tim Miller, not Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Miller.
Dark Fate for Life.
Dark Fate for Life. So
RIPD John Connor.
So basically, okay. So production was set to begin in March, 2015. Now Reynolds attributed Fox's greenlighting of the film entirely to the leak. He, Miller, and the writers previously discussed leaking the footage themselves, and Ryan initially thought that Miller had done so. In exchange for being able to make the film they wanted as an R-rated movie, Fox only gave the crew a budget of $66 million.
Which is the most metal budget you can get without being the most expensive movie ever made at $666 million.
Well, it gets less metal. For perspective, X-Men Origins got $150 million. Green Lantern.
What is it called? Million.
God damn. Fuck you.
X-Men Origins Wolverine cost how much?
$150 million.
Well, you got to buy pizza for the animators.
Yeah, of course. So 2 days before production began, Fox is like, "Hey, so you remember how we said 66 million? Turns out we can give you 58.
Ooh, eight less.
Yeah, so.
And they were like, "Why did you do this? We're white."
Right. They tried. They did what they could to simply ask for the money back. And the richer white men said, no, it's ours.
We're going to give it to other willful
other white guys. People. Yeah. So white guys still won in this $8 million fiasco.
So the big motorcycle fight, they were basically going to have this big motorcycle fight scene in the beginning of the movie. That was completely scrapped. And then the final fight scene, like the third act climax, had to be completely reworked. Like, and this is 2 days before production begins.
Like a motorcycle fight. I know you might not know, but is it something that would replace basically the, like, what he's doing with the boyfriend?
Probably. I'm not sure.
Like he was, yeah.
Now to have, like to even have the writers on set, because of like the SAG minimums for having writers on set, like you can't be on set even if you just want to be, like they have to pay you SAG minimums. Uh-huh. So Reynolds had to pay those out of his own pocket because he needed those guys on set, and that like $7 million like was coming out of all that money basically.
Hmm.
A lot of other things too, but that also contributed to that money. But the movie came out, I mean, it like I forget, this movie outgrossed like Moana and The Force Awakens.
Yeah, that movie made out like gangbusters.
It did not outgross The Force Awakens. It maybe in its opening weekend it was beating it, but it did not outgross.
Not overall, for sure.
Like one of the biggest movies of all time. Because Deadpool didn't even break $1 billion, and Force Awakens I think broke 2.
That was what I was looking. Let me look back.
Which should be said also, speaking to the budget, that in Thailand,
maybe it was domestic.
In Thailand, due date is called Odd Couple Wacky Trip Go Together in Time for Birth.
That's also what The Passion of the Christ is called.
Yep. No, and that was that it didn't make money in Thailand, as they thought it was just a re-release of Passion of the Christ.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I was looking at opening stuff.
Sure, because it comes out in February of 2016, which also starts.
It was
this
Valentine's
thing
Day weekend
where movies could do well in February, because I remember the original idea was, oh no, they don't think this is going to work. They're dumping it in February.
Yeah, and then it became like the anti-date movie for Valentine's Day.
Sure, yeah, and now every that slot has been filled every year since. It doesn't even didn't Logan, and Logan is a sort of distant cousin of this movie.
And that was like they called it like the new summer of
And Logan comes out first week of March, so it's in a similar window.
Black Widow was going to come out in April,
The next year, right? But again, I think that there was a true adult like oriented like action comedy, that kind of thing became viable in February while it was still winter. Whereas Black Widow wanted to sort of open summer early, it's like there's still money to be made right after the Oscar movies get their last push. Mm-hmm. Because you see other movies like Split, you know, M. Night Shyamalan's movies end up coming out in February and March.
Well, and then when did Get Out
come out? I don't know. Let me find out. Venom, written by the writers of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that is not true. They are not credited, but I know they were developing it for a while. We Venom. Should unfortunately cover Venom eventually on this
Did
show.
They knock knock and let the devil in him.
Hey man, Venom came out in October because it's spooky.
Ooh.
And also, I think that movie was mostly concerned with coming out overseas. So who knows what the better strategies are for that.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, so this movie does very well at the box office. Surprising for Deadpool, surprising for Ryan Reynolds, surprising for February.
Surprising for Fox at that point as well.
Yeah. Who was like at that point on its deathbed. It's interesting that this didn't help. This didn't save it. If nothing else, it maybe just drove up the purchase price.
It's like a Band-Aid over a bullet wound, you know?
Well, it's definitely one of the main properties that Disney had like immediately put into development when they bought Fox. There, you know, most of the stuff Disney has bought from Fox, you know, it's not, they're not actively developing Alien.
No.
You know, but they were like, well, we have these, all these superheroes we can really make work. And I don't think, I mean, obviously, this was a huge part of that Fox buy of, oh, there's even more superheroes people care about. With a, with a, an actor who wants to play ball in terms of production and marketing. Which you sometimes don't get with these movies where you have Benedict Cumberbatch who seems like they have to drag him anywhere.
Yeah.
There's well, only, there's like, they only have one Tom Holland and everyone else seems like they do not want to be.
Well, anywhere. Paul Rudd, they would like Paul to be Rudd actively else. Wants to be Ant-Man.
He wants to be the actual character Ant-Man.
No, no, like Paul Rudd wants to be like Paul Rudd writes, like helps write the scripts.
For oh, sure.
Like, he loves like, yeah.
That, well, that's again, he's that's game because the movie,
he's like the happy medium of like, of the two, you know?
Well, cause he felt the first one fall out from under him. So I think he's just, it forced him to have more. It's like, you either really try to put this back together or this might not happen, which is a similar attitude that Reynolds had where it's, I don't care if I'm not getting paid. I don't care. I need this movie to be a success because I'm getting escorted out at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had Deadpool not come and hit for Ryan Reynolds, I think this entire part of his career would look vastly different.
Yeah, he would have just done The Proposal too.
Which, why not still?
Because he can only be Deadpool. Because even in
he's Detective Pikachu,
that's true. Yeah. He would have to know that he's being proposed to.
Yeah, even like Detective Pikachu felt like Deadpool as Pikachu, and then
what if
like
a guy knew he was Pikachu?
Didn't want to be Pikachu anymore. So yeah, I mean that's Deadpool. Do you guys have any?
So what do we think of the movie? Now we're here.
Yeah,
it's 108 big fat minutes, and. What do you think of the movie Deadpool? Me too.
Here's my big thing about Deadpool, and it's something I kind of got to earlier, is if Deadpool had come out when I was in ninth grade, yeah. I'd have fucking loved
yeah,
this
dude.
Movie.
Like, it would have, if it came out when Blade 2 came out for me, like, it would have changed my life, you know?
Yeah, it would have been the movie me and my friends were quoting in high school and shit. You know what I mean? Like, but I was kind of past giving a shit about Deadpool in 2016.
Yeah.
And I still supported that Deadpool was coming out. I thought it was cool. I sort of yeah. knew a little bit about Ryan Reynolds wanting to play it. And obviously, like, I had watched the work print version of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Like, that's when I was mm-hmm. excited about, you know, if
it you were there in
2011. I would have been yeah. there for it. You know what I mean? Like, but I do think that it suffered a little bit from the development of just having to wait so long to come out.
Yeah. It's such a stripped down movie narratively because it's kind of two scenes or it's a scene and it's two sequences, right?
Yeah. It's built around like that fight basically, you know, or like it keeps coming back to the one major sequence
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to the big like Quinjet thing at the end.
Right, which are not officially like helicarriers, right? I think that originally they shot certain shots that would allow for them to really give that Easter egg, but I don't think they were given the thumbs up for it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a decommissioned SHIELD helicarrier.
Yeah, it's similar to how Avengers used to have it had Oscorp in it for a while until yeah. it. Just they're like, no, I'm sorry, this is not gonna, we're not gonna let you. And again, it's something that I would imagine Disney would be okay with in retro, you know, in hindsight. Great cast for the most part. Ryan Reynolds doing good work. Marina Baccarin as Vanessa.
She's serviceable. She's good.
What else has she like really done? Because I think she was in that like remake of V, which was actually a sequel, not a remake.
Known for portraying Inara Serra in Firefly and the movie Serenity.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch those.
She be in Homeland. She be in Gotham.
Don't you hate when you're like, what the fuck has this person been in? And then you're like, oh, they've been working consistently.
Right. It's like I've seen them in commercials like forever. Maria Menounos has shown me this person constantly.
I've gotten a first look at this person a couple times.
Yes. She's in Spy. I think she has a pretty big part in Spy. But yeah, this was sort of it. And she really gets done dirty in the sequel.
Yeah. And then
she
there's
gets
a lot of
fridged,
like, fan,
as they say.
There's a lot of fan grumbling that she will eventually become Death. And that, like, that's what a lot of the third one will be about or something. But, like, who knows?
It's so weird that there's fan grumbling about a Deadpool movie.
I know.
This was a movie that had to be fought for, and now it has entered the sort of pop culture vocabulary. As a tone.
I always think about this tweet that Demi Adijabe said, where he said that Deadpool is just like Minions for like theater kids.
Sure.
You know, or it's just like, it just became this thing where it was literally everywhere. They had the wallets, they had everything, and they were dressed head to toe. And so now it's like, it can't leave the culture, no matter, like, they can put out a bad prequel and it doesn't matter. It's still going to make the money and be a thing a bunch of people love, and we can be on the outlier and not get it and doesn't care. It doesn't matter.
Right. But this movie is not an outlier. It's not
no,
on
it's
the
not.
Fringes.
It also kind of, and
that's the sort of gross, like it that thing of like Green Day still making punk albums. Like, I know that there's too much just musically here or cinematically with Deadpool. This is not punk rock. This is not some weird transgressive subversive movie that you've made. You just made your version of this movie.
Yeah.
But it has certainly captivated a group of people who it's let them feel in on the joke and in on the industry and the genre. I was texting you guys about this, that I think has helped. I don't think Deadpool is completely innocent in this wave of toxic comic book fandom. I think it's a pretty integral movie in that wave. It's not the main problem, but it's certainly part of it.
I mean, I will say there's really only one female character in this movie, and that's Negasonic Teenage Warhead,
and she's a boy.
She's basically well, I mean, yeah.
And Gina Carano too.
Talked down to by Deadpool at every given chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and there really is no moment of him being like, wow, you're actually valuable. You know what I mean? Like, Deadpool
100%.
Sort of
lacks
any kind of sincerity that makes any of those characters feel necessary. Like, I like Colossus, but I also feel like Colossus could get bisected at any point in this movie, and this movie wouldn't really change.
Yeah, not at all.
Right. I think Deadpool it carries that. I don't think this is Reynolds. For me, this movie, look, I'm not a huge fan of this movie. This movie made almost $1 billion, so I am in the minority. But I don't think Reynolds had yet calibrated his 60-40 charming asshole by this point. I don't see a moment in this movie, unless he's in a scene with Vanessa, where he is not actively being rude to everybody, but being only rewarded for it.
Yeah.
So I don't, and I understand that it gets to that arc where
you just got hit by a fucking atomic death ray of light. I don't know what just happened to him.
You guys should be over here in the future where there's no light.
Oh man, the sun's going down, and woo-wee.
Dude, an Archimedes death ray just came through your fucking
head. Yeah, sorry guys, I've been abducted.
Yeah, no, but I do think that. That there is sort of a lack of that's sort of what I think is two things that I think make this movie feel strange and not connect in certain ways for me. I think is the lack of Deadpool having any kind of genuine connection with any person that's not the woman he's trying to save. Like, even if it was TJ Miller or somebody, if he just had something, a relationship that was like genuine. And also the stuff, and I know this is budgetary reasons, but the times where it's like, oh yeah, there's just no people in these wide shots.
Well, yeah, and it's like, also
it's empty.
It's part of that whole,
right, and like,
the sky is gray because like it means visual effects wise they can do like what they need to with it. Like they put no cloud in there and they just make it clear. The same thing with like Civil War and things like that. Which is
they're also
how you just shoot it cheaply.
To your, I didn't know the 66 to 58 million budget. I knew that they had a budget cut and they had a low budget. The joke, which is a pretty good joke, that they forgot the guns at home or in the cab or something.
Oh, he left them at home.
Is because they had a shootout sequence written that they couldn't afford. So they just literally, instead of completely removing it, they found a joke in that. So the, again, the movie's covered in
and there's a couple Band-Aids. Of those where he even says at one point, he's like, there's only two of you here. It's almost like the studio can afford more X-Men, you know, like it's, and they're trying to do that tongue in cheekly. And, you know, I honestly do feel like it's a pretty good, representation of the comics.
But that doesn't mean it should be a movie. Right. Like, I think that
comic,
if you can represent a comic very well, like something that a movie that represents a comic really well is not really a movie.
My thing about Deadpool, though,
hence why these mediums exist.
That's sort of my argument for why I don't connect with the original Watchmen and connect way more with this new Watchmen TV show.
Sure, and that's interesting because I agree with that philosophy on so much, and you see it a lot when they try to make plays into movies. But I, for some reason, give Watchmen a pass, and I don't understand. I am still, like, I need a therapist to figure out why Zack Snyder's worst impulses do it for me as a filmmaker, maybe not as a person.
I think Zack Snyder's Watchmen does it for me too. I like that movie a lot.
Right, get that squid out of here. I don't want to see that.
Make
so
it
you
make sense
this,
for a major audience.
So this movie has like some movie stars in it, some comedy stars. TJ Miller is in this movie.
I don't think he's going to be in the third one. At least I hope not.
Right.
He's called in a couple bomb threats on his ex-girlfriend, and he's been spiraling for a while.
Well, like, all I'm saying is he's in the second one, which was after they could have let him go.
Yeah, they all kind of like stuck by him a little bit.
And yeah, without like I think everyone like who stuck by TJ Miller stuck by him silently or by employing him. Nobody came out and wrote a letter where it's like, no, this is a good guy. Because yeah. You know, it's like, no, I mean, look, he's fun on set, so that's about as far
I mean,
as it goes.
I guess
DJ.
He's fun on set on a movie set, but the stories about him on set on Silicon Valley are a fucking horror show.
Yeah, he sounds like a chore of a person.
Like they would say that he would just be out because he just wanted to do stand up, so he was just out doing stand up till like 2 or 3 in the morning. Then he'd come to set like upset and tired, and like the vibe on set would be really fun, and then he'd get there and be like, all right, what scene are we doing, what pages, Jesus wow. Christ, 4 pages, okay, I guess, yeah, we're gonna get this done before lunch, huh? Like, just like coming in with such an attitude, and it was killing. And the
he really Chevy Chased real quick.
He said that the thing that killed it was that for him, and what made it like he realized it needed to change, was that they were on set and they had a big guest star. He didn't say who because he didn't want to embarrass that person, but they had a big notable guest star, like a famous person, and TJ was on set doing his thing, and the famous person pulled him aside and was like, hey, does this guy always do this? Because this is crazy. Like, and for like someone of that caliber to be like, yo, what the fuck is this guy on about? Just right. Kind of gave the whole cast and like writer's room like a wake up call, and that's when they decided to like write him off.
But you look at, I mean, yeah, I guess he took 2019 off. And 20, I mean, you do look at who he He's worked with Spielberg.
He bought a backpack from Jacob Borja's brother in 2019. Jacob Borja's brother was selling a backpack on OfferUp, and a guy named TJ came to buy it, and it was TJ Miller. And he was like, oh, interesting.
Future guest of the show, Jacob Borja.
Yeah, future guest.
And he was in this movie that came out this year, which a couple of them actually came out this year, called Underwater. That's actually kind of great. This is the thing about TJ Miller is that. Dragon. But the thing with TJ Miller is that, and this isn't a defense, but it's one of those cases where he does the thing he does really well. He connects on screen. This is the problem that the industry has to overcome. That is not the point. There are other TJ Miller types. You know, Adam Pally's just chilling, waiting for phone calls.
You can put Jason Mendoza. He's a
perfectly nice fella.
Jason Mendoza could play literally every TJ Miller role, and it would be a better movie, and it would elevate that movie.
He's good in Cloverfield. But he's also not on camera in Cloverfield, so that might help.
That's true.
Yeah.
Moving on from TJ Miller. Here's one question I want to ask you guys. Is that so this movie and Deadpool 2 are directed by directors who are kind of not directors. Now, Do you think, for everything that's great and maybe not great about this movie, that it's... I think it's hurting from being made by a guy who might not be as confident on a set like that.
Well, Deadpool 2 100% feels directed by Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Right. But that could just be because Ryan Reynolds became a better backseat director.
Yeah, I think he just realized he wanted a guy that will connect the fight scenes while he works on all the funny, you know?
I think these movies...
This is the sort of Tom Cruise, Sandler thing of he just found a technician because he thinks he's got the real hand on the wheel.
Yeah, and it feels... these movies feel made by somebody who wrote them. You know what I mean? Like they
100%. Which is the comic book translate, which is why they feel very comic booky. It seems much more of a direct line to the writers.
I think the ad campaign for Deadpool 2 was better than that whole movie, and that was because it felt like a Tim and Eric episode. If you watch
the
commercial back to back, you know.
And that's become the other thing that comes with Ryan Reynolds is this hyper aware marketing campaign and you know press tour. Where he now can't make a movie. I want to stay on the directors for a second, but to that point, he can't make a movie where he doesn't market it by doing all sorts of weird meta. I'm going to do voiceover on a Taco Bell commercial and tell you about Detective Pikachu. You know,
dude, I'm about to switch over to Mint Mobile, and they just have commercials where he's like,
"Yeah,
that was the first 10 seconds of our commercial."
This is he narrates a game show with Adam Scott that the pitch now on everything is what if Ryan Reynolds knew he was blank? What if he knew he was in a video game? What if he knew he was Pikachu? What if he knew he was the Hitman's bodyguard?
Yeah, what if he just shed his skin and just was Deadpool? You know,
Right. Well, and that's the other thing is that he's done everything he can to sort of just. It's that that Robert Downey Jr. thing of I can keep this moving if I align my persona with this character.
Yeah.
Then the army of fans never stops. Will never feel like I stopped making Deadpool content as long as I promote my gin in a very Deadpool way, which is something that you know. You see Dwayne Johnson
I think it's probably part of him is when you play it straight and the movie flops as hardcore as a superhero movie can flop, and then you do this new, you know, delivery essentially that made you almost $1 billion at the box office in a single movie. You're like, okay, people like this. Maybe I just keep hitting this button until this is over. You know what I mean? He found something that works, and he's tapping that vein. And I do think that it's already starting to sour on people.
And with the exception of Life,
he keeps doing Tina's shaking her head vehemently. No, she's a big Ryan Reynolds stan.
There's also, this is the thing where Ryan Reynolds, I think, they re-enter, you know, people want to compare three or four Chris's, and there's also the Gosling and Reynolds debate, which is a stranger one because they are so different in every way.
Every single way, except for, I think, in Crazy Stupid Love, Ryan Gosling is accidentally doing Ryan Reynolds. A Ryan Reynolds movie.
It's interesting. It's not a great movie. It's an okay movie. It's a worse movie with Ryan Reynolds, but it's a more interesting character with Ryan Reynolds.
It fits who that character is better.
Sure, that's the Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling, who has perfectly calibrated the charming asshole.
Yeah.
Is riding the line in that one. Of like, this guy's kind of a psychopath.
See, I don't see Ryan Gosling as charming asshole. I see Ryan Gosling as like really hot guy who's a little autistic.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, charming quiet, murderer.
Yeah, like quiet weirdo. Yeah. You know, like
I. Okay, yeah, but like, what if the quiet weirdo was so fucking hot?
Yeah, like
yeah, he was. What if he was so hot that you felt like in danger?
Yeah, it felt like all of our moms like weird scienced him. You know, like
yeah. No, there's a scene in Blue Valentine where. Which is this like sweet, delicate, romantic movie. That's all it is. And it's he's flirting with this girl and she wants to close the door and he stops the door from being closed. And I'm like, buddy, you don't have a face to do that.
Yeah.
This is an intense moment. Please let her close the door.
Yeah. That movie was all improvised too.
Great. The
movie was limprovised.
Heyo. David S. Ma Boyer.
David S. Ma Boyer.
Richard said something else that made me even more upset. I'm psyched that I've already forgotten it. To these directors, I think evidence with that is that they've both gone on to make movies that are. Or actually, David Leitch hasn't made a movie since Deadpool, right?
No, he has.
Yeah, so they've gone on to make movies that are. Again, very subservient to the producer stars in them.
Hobbs and Shaw felt like Deadpool 3 and felt like a guy going, but I really want to be making Deadpool 3, bro.
Right. You know how they said that a trailer company re-edited Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw looks like a trailer company wrote, produced, directed, edited, and released a movie. Like, what if the whole movie was a trailer for a movie that you don't want to go see?
It's true.
It's the history of violence, William Hurt. How do you fuck that up?
Kyle?
Kyle, we can't hear you.
Sorry about that. Did I ever tell you, Spike, what I wanted my initial pitch for the... When I watched the trailer of Hobbs and Shaw, what I hoped they were going to do, I hoped they were going to reveal. Because in the trailer, you see, what's his name? I'm blanking on his name right now.
Jason
Statham. Hobbs?
Black Superman.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. Thank
Black
you.
Superman.
Black Superman.
You see Idris Elba get injected with this.
Black Superman serum.
Powers,
right? Oh, you thought they were going to be powered by cars? I remember this. Yeah.
And in the universe, the superpower is cars, right?
Yes,
so
of
what
course.
If they're injecting him with NOS and he's basically a car now?
Well, remember. Remember,
like, dude, if they do that,
that's
I'm
kind
so
of
in.
Incredible.
That was our discussion. I was like, you know what? I'm out because the original conceit of this universe is that they're just people and it's insane that they're doing this and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, they were stealing right. DVD players in the first one.
And I,
yeah, exactly. Like,
they were like,
that's
I gotta leave this sandwich restaurant. I gotta.
Well, that's great and bad about those movies. Eventually, Ludacris is doing like
he's a kung fu guy for 20 seconds.
Yeah, but then in Hobbs
I had
and
a life
Shaw,
before you knew me,
and he can hack the government's mainframe
in front
in
of
Hobbs
the
and Shaw.
Of
like,
all time.
The Rock jumps out of a skyscraper and lands on his knee.
Just on his knee
on concrete.
Yeah, isn't it in the? Here's the thing: is that we say this and it seems like we're putting it down, but then we see the trailer for this new one, and we're like, I think doesn't Vin Diesel catch a car in the new trailer? I'm pretty sure a car flies towards him, and he kind of catches it.
I know a car does like swing on a branch, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Grabs a chain. And it sort of swings.
Yeah, he's like, now he's graduated to like a physics PhD.
But at least
he's like, don't worry, I'm going to hit that rope real good. And we're going to swing to the jet.
At least in the Vin movies, there's like this sense of like the action is in the front of the screen. It's like, is right there in front of you. When in Hobbs and Shaw, everything was behind like the stars. Like the actual fighting was going on behind a close up of The Rock.
Hobbs and Shaw also had some very annoying trailers with just like Hobbs and Shaw like being snarky at each other while like beating up a room of dudes.
Well, right. It was like an ad for like a sitcom, but it was a movie. Yeah.
Right. No, and that's maybe the better version of it, right? That you just take it in 22-minute chunks.
Honestly, yeah, make it a Quibi show.
You know who also was in Hobbs and Shaw? Ryan Reynolds.
As the handler.
As the handler, also Victor Locke and Etienne director, uncredited voice. He plays two parts in Hobbs and Shaw. He plays Victor Locke, who is clearly like a sequel setup. And Etienne director, he was credited under the pseudonym Champ Nightingale.
God. Yeah, if you
So that's like where he's at now.
Wait, is Shaw's handler's last name Key?
Damn, like, dude.
The Rob Delaney one?
Oh, that's great. That's probably 100% correct, right?
I don't know that movie well enough, but I think...
No, he plays CIA agent Loeb. So it's Loeb, Locke and Loeb. Oh, I said it out loud and I got upset. Lock and Loeb, everybody. Oh man! All right.
I don't like that.
So Deadpool does well.
Play Colossus.
Just some guy, right?
So Colossus is played by like four guys. There's like stilt guy, stunt guy, face guy, and voice guy.
Jesus
Christ. Oh yeah, and then Deadpool 2, like Ryan Reynolds does the voice for for Juggernaut.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I
don't like
yes,
that.
Yes, that is the case. His face is modeled that his face and voice are done by two different people. And there was a guy on stilts on set who was just, it's kind of a Darth Vader thing where he was just there.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's interesting. They said that was like a very, elaborate setup to actually use him.
Like, oh, and
they wanted the script, but it was kind of a difficult character to use.
The rights for Negasonic were acquired by making a trade with Disney. Did you know about this?
No. Yeah,
that's interesting.
A deal was reached allowing the exchange with 20th Century Fox because Fox owned Ego the Living Planet, which they wanted for Guardians 2. And that was just sort of I think it just worked out for everybody. Maybe both characters, I think, are of equal use to the movies in terms of success.
Yeah, not very great.
Yeah, both are like, this is the thing you all came together and shook hands over.
They're like, and we stepped across the party divide and we made it happen for the fans.
We'll give you a... Huh? For a what?
Oh, delightful.
Oh, yeah. That's now, cool. So through all that development hell, you have Tim Miller, who is, you know, making movies. You have the writers who I don't think struggle to make movies anymore.
No, one of them
is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
No, who are they married to?
One of them's married to Aya Cash, who's now that Stormfront on The Boys.
She's also from You're the Worst.
Yeah, the girl with the red hair from You're the Worst.
She's really good.
Oh, wow. Stormfront's scary.
She's scary, bro.
Dude, she's scaring me.
She's scaring me.
I'm afraid to turn on the show because what if she?
Yeah, they have no problem.
And Brooke.
Also, that's a good for him.
Good for him. Bad for her. But no, when I turn on the boys,
what do they got coming up next?
I don't want this. What do the boys have going on next? They gotta find Homelander, and they gotta punch him real hard.
They gotta one punch Homelander.
They gotta find a real dense boxing glove, and then they gotta find Homelander, and then put two and two together, and the boys are gonna win.
I hope so.
They are the writers of Clue. What if Clue knew it was a clue? and the Watch Dogs. Both of these are in development hell, I think. So I spoke too soon. What if the Watch Dogs knew they were watching dogs?
Video game. It's the video game.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a movie now.
It's the game about a lot of people that they are watching out for the dogs.
Yeah, that's a video game about hacking into people's cell phones and then knowing if they're killers or not and then killing them or something, right? I don't know. I've never played that game.
For you not knowing, you threw out a lot of guests there. That's about this specific thing, right? I don't know.
No, I saw that on like a photo.
You saw a photo of the description of
this motherfucker. This motherfucker yesterday, we're playing Avengers, and he's just like, "Man, you ever think about how Angry Birds is just about is like anti-immigrant?" And I'm like, "What is it?" And Gina looked it up because it was so buck wild. And they're like, "No, the pigs are not immigrants. They're colonialists. If anything, they're trying to like." Destroy the bird's way of life.
It's already too much thought given to Angry Birds.
Richard,
no, Angry Birds isn't this. It's this.
Richard was positing that because the Angry Birds do not allow the pigs to assimilate into their culture, that it was anti-immigrant.
No, I mean, that's you know, a one-to-one right there.
Thank you.
That actually is a great opinion, Richard. I can't believe I'm saying it. It should be said, I think, on air, because I don't think this came out in the last two, is that Terminator Dark Fate is Richard's favorite movie.
Love it.
Which is...
That and the episode of The Simpsons that was removed from the streaming
Disney Plus. Yeah, Terminator Dark Fate worked out great.
Worked out great.
I'd like to read you a monologue from Terminator Dark Fate. This is the Terminator who now does drapes for a living. And here it is. Arnold Schwarzenegger says, "There's just more to it than picking the right color. It's the texture, the weight of the material. One wrong choice, it can destroy the look of the entire room. There was one customer that came to me. He wanted solid colored drapes in a little girl's room. I said, don't do it. You need butterflies, polka dots, balloons." So Schwarzenegger said that. Did a couple takes of that. They decided to put it in the whole movie. Like, if you went to the theater, that happened in focus on in a movie. And then he didn't look at the camera and go, "Just kidding. It's not what I said."
And knowing this guy, he delivered that incredibly impeccably. Well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just with really good pronunciation.
No, you really believed that Terminator
he delivered
cared right. a lot about drapes, which is what makes Terminator Dark Drapes great.
Terminator
Drape Fate.
Girl drapes.
do you even drape?
A movie drape, that yeah. didn't deserve the hate it got.
Or the budget it got. Yeah. No. It's cool, though, that you like it.
Dark Skate.
I'm super.
David S. Yaboyer.
Written by David S. Yaboyer, by the way.
Yep.
Not, David S. That is Yaboyer. Not untrue.
Yep.
What if one of his movies did end with just written by David S. Yaboyer?
He's our one listener.
Story by five fellas, screenplay by three fellas, so you know it's got a lot to say. So that's. Did anybody have any last thoughts on Deadpool? It's interesting.
I think a Deadpool 3 might at this point just be too far divorced from like society to be good.
Sure.
You know? Like, and I think like a new Deadpool, just because of how long it's taken everything else to come out and how we're burnt out on media having to like stay inside so much, that might have hurt like the concept of like a good third Deadpool movie.
Yeah, and this also spawned an abandoned animated show.
Yes.
That was going to be Donald Glover's sort of FX thing. Did they sort of give him Deadpool instead, or was it going to be his other FX show? Because it was going to be run by Donald Glover.
As far as I know, it was always in addition to Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta has been a very interesting sort of development thing, too, because that show changed so many times on what it was. I remember
it was a sitcom.
I remember the initial thing that I had read said that it was going to be an original musical and every episode was going to have like original songs.
Wow.
And like, that's clearly, you know what I mean? Like, not what ended up happening.
Well, yeah, the thing about Deadpool was that script was, it had something about Taylor Swift in it. And the network said, you can't do that because we want her in X-Men Dark Phoenix to play Starlight.
Good movie.
Not Starlight. Yeah, they want her to play some sort of mutant. And so they were like, so you can't do this. And then Donald Glover was like,
she wears t-shirts.
Yeah, but she wears t-shirts.
Yeah, he had an overall deal with FX and was in Spider-Man Homecoming. So I think just he had everybody's number.
He's in Spider-Man Homecoming as Miles Morales' uncle.
Yep. I think that's... I will say, too, that the title for The Sixth Sense in China is, he's a ghost! Which is insane.
These are gone on my other podcast. These are great.
Yeah, this is a new segment. I think I'm gonna bookmark this for lulls in the show.
This is good. Yeah.
Richard, what are we doing next week?
Next week, I want to do a movie that is written by, based off a book written by the leader of the Church of Scientology. I want to do Battlefield Earth.
Wow.
Ooh, fun.
The only thing I know about this movie is that it's from L. Ron Hubbard's Big Boy book and the, like, DVD poster. Like the DVD cover. I don't know anything about this movie.
Well, I only know that it's L. Ron Hubbard's like his like magnum opus that he like begged on his deathbed to get made. And I've just seen the picture of what John Travolta looks like in the movie, and I know nothing else.
Yeah,
he
spent a whole dang week writing it.
I know that John. I'll talk about like a lot of the stuff it went through, but it is sort of just like I think John Travolta tried to do a lot of favors to get this movie made. And so I think it'll be a fun one to talk about it, like a true production hell of just like what it takes to get there and just sort of what happened. Cause it also set the record at the time for the most home video, like sales. It had almost negative box office dollars, but on home video made everything. And like intent, I believe, is because everyone in Scientology was forced to buy a copy of it.
Right. It's sort of like why Dianetics does pretty well still.
Yeah. And so...
And it just works.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
it's just good stuff. It's smart.
So I think
I think that... And do we...
When the content's good, it's just good.
Yeah. Similar to... it's just good branding. Similar to...
Sorry, I'm coughing up blood.
Alien versus...
No, Dianetics is just great.
Similar to Alien vs. Predator, I think before watching this movie, we should do homework. We should read Dianetics. We should all get
I've only read Dianetics versus Freddy versus Jason, so I have to read the original Dianetics.
No, it's cool. They arrest Dianetics for not killing.
Ballistic. Dianetics versus Sever.
That is a reference to an episode I hope people never hear, because we only just found a structure.
Arrest Batman for not being a predator.
Why aren't you killing people? It's not what I do. Well, then you gotta go to fucking jail.
You're under arrest for not being a predator.
Your buddy, though.
See you later, fellas.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to Development Hell.
And subscribe. I feel like at this point, we're going to start yelling at people that this show exists.
Yeah, baby. So definitely subscribe. You can follow me on Instagram at Kyle Anderson Comedy. You guys throwing your plugins.
You can follow me on Instagram as well at Rich Kneezy. And yeah, that's me.
I'm on Instagram as HG Spike.
There you go. See you later, demons.
Late.
Blowing so much pack, look like Drift Race a movie. In here with the gang every time we link a movie. Money tall, stack influence, put you back into it. Money tall, love Ferrari right next to the Mueller. She want me lose focus, little baby, I can't change that. Once you took the top off, there's nobody to exchange that. I need me a shorty with some range and a face tan. Bust down, Mel.